I can only imagine, for those that are veterans, if you have been on the field in action, I can only imagine what it means to be out there in the fear and the terror, to have the guns blazing overhead, to not know whether in the middle of the night something's going to happen. On January 8th of 2012, Sergeant Stephen Stoops, along with other group of soldiers from the 124th, they're playing football during some downtime, and all of a sudden they're interrupted by gunfire. And the first thought, Sergeant Stevens says, Stoops says, the first thought that went through my head was to find cover. In the first few seconds, he tried to make sense of what was going on, then discovered that two fellow soldiers had been shot. Private First Class John Bolin and Private First Class Dustin Napier, were wounded, and they were laying in the field, and this gunfire was happening. Stoops, he remembers seeing the assailant coming dressed in an Afghan army garb, uniform, and shooting in his direction. He said, I ran back to the entry control point when I saw the sergeant come running out, pushing back onto the soccer field with a weapon that he had taken from one of the cavalrymen. Sergeant Jacob Lewis was the first, the sergeant that was going back out to respond to the attack. But he didn't have to wait long for support because Sergeant Stephen Stoops had come out just as quickly as soon as he found a weapon to go and defend his troops. Not only the sergeant that had gone back out, but the two fallen ones also. He says, I could not let him go back out there by himself, not knowing what else was out there. When we linked up, we decided to flank the enemy and bound towards the wounded soldiers. Stoop received the Bronze Star Medal for exceptionally valorous service during Operation Enduring Freedom. His heroic actions and complete disregard for his own safety during an enemy attack on Forward Operating Base Apache in Afghanistan saved the lives of his fellow soldiers. His bravery is in keeping with the finest tradition of military service and reflects distinct credit upon himself. Task Force Arctic Wolves, Regional Commands and Regional Command South in the United States Army. Received a bronze medal for his service. There was no such thing as fear for him. Could you imagine being out on the field? What would your response be? We're not trained like those soldiers were. I don't know if we would have saved our own skin or if we would have churned and fought. We need to be standing up for God. And there's a way we can do it. If you take your Bible and turn to Psalm 118, passage we read this morning, and there you see our passage as it refers to trusting God. Now you may look back at last Tuesday and may see for yourself that we certainly do need to trust God. You may have been looking at the game yesterday and watching Nebraska play and said, oh, I really need to trust God for this one. Maybe looking at your own life, your health, your finance, things that you see that are in the future that you're going to have to address, and you have to trust God. We need to trust God. Today, we're also celebrating Thanksgiving. We thank God for those that have served in the military, but we also thank God for many other things. And especially because of the confidence we could put into Him. When I look at Psalm 118, especially when I look at verses 8 and 9, it says there, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes and rulers. Why does he say that? Well, for the simple reason, God is trustworthy. His whole psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving. And it's thanksgiving because of what God has done and because he can put his trust in what God will do. Look how he begins the psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now look back at the last verse, verse 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. He has sandwiched the goodness of the Lord between these two verses. And it begins with great confidence that we can have in Him. We know, first off, that God can give you peace. God gives us peace. As I'm looking through Psalm 118, I find 11 different reasons He thanks God. And you can take those 11 reasons, and then you can kind of combine them and organize them. And one of the first things I see is that God gives me peace. Do we not need peace in a world like today? You look and you see that America is headed towards a financial cliff. That's the way it's described in the on the news. That America has to make decisions or whoop, off they go. That's what happened to Greece. If you've been paying attention the last couple of years to the news, that's what's going to happen to America. I can cause a lot of uneasiness, can't it? We live in a culture today where the people are losing their jobs because people are buying from the companies because they don't have money because they've lost their jobs. It's kind of a vicious cycle that way. We find that it's becoming difficult to find jobs here in America. We look at the financial situation. I was talking to somebody and they're telling me that they look at the investments that they have made, and they're not making anything now. They've lost and lost and lost and lost. Talk about financial worry. How many of you love going to see the doctor? We never like going to see the doctor. Why? Because we're always afraid. They're going to tell me that I have heart trouble. They're going to tell me that I got brain trouble. They're going to confirm what my wife said. They're going to tell me that I have to stop eating chips. They're going to tell me that I'm going to have to eat, of all things, salad. We'd rather have the pills, wouldn't we? God gives peace. Look at verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. That's a good verse. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I'll say it again. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's a good one to learn, isn't it? I don't need to fear. I can have peace because the Lord is on my side. In verse 7, he says, the Lord is for me among those who help me. He's right there. In verse 10, all the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. That's confidence. It's victory. It's peace. Verse 13, you pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. You see that over and over. The Lord's on my side. I can be at peace because I know the Lord will help me. I know the Lord answers me. I can be at peace because the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord answers me. In verse 5 there it says, I called out to the Lord in my distress. You've never had distress in your life, have you? Sometimes it's not even about us. We're worried about somebody else. We're concerned. What's going to happen? So I called to the Lord in my distress, and the Lord answered. You know, it's nice to know when you're calling somebody, they're going to answer on the other side, isn't it? In the end, it's no big deal, unless it's something very important that you got to get across. You call somebody to talk to them, see how they're doing. They don't answer, you leave a message. But something that you really important that you've got to find out or that you've got to tell them about, you call them up. And when they don't answer, what do? You hang up and you call again. And you hang up and you call again as if they're gone shopping, and because you've called three times now, they're magically going to appear at the house. Why do you do that? Because this is something very important. Maybe you need their help. Maybe you're trying to help them. And so, you have out that you want them to contact you. And so it's nice to know when they're on the other side. God is never too busy. Do you remember when Elijah was up on Mount Carmel and he had challenged the false prophets of Baal and Asherah? And they're out calling to their God. They're saying their prayers. Do you remember what Elijah was doing? He was sitting there doing his nails. I added that. Looking at them. Mocking them. Oh, maybe you got to call louder. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's asleep. You need to wake him up. Oh, come on, louder, louder. Maybe he's, next thing he's reading the book. Next thing he's doing his hair. He had hair. I don't know about it. Elisha didn't. I think Elijah probably did. That's what they are. That's what they do. Call, call, call. And what do you say? There's no answer. Because he doesn't exist. The psalmist says, I called out in my distress and he answered me. Wow, that's peace right there, isn't it? To know that when I call out to God because I'm his child, he hears me. Sometimes I don't like the answer he gives all the time, but he does hear me. We look on here a little further. And we see in verse 21, he says, I will praise you for you have answered me and become my salvation. Lord, you delivered me. Well, I can have peace. I can trust God because he gives me peace. He's on my side. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Psalm 118 verse 6. Lord is also my guide. Talking about the teens, they went to a youth event and the hayrack ride, and I guess they went and looked into a cave. And they said, when he got in the cave, guess what? It was dark. And when you turn off the lights, you don't know where you're going. I remember when we went to Colorado, when I was growing up, we went to Colorado, went way down deep in a cave. You could see the bats overhead. I mean, that was pretty neat. The ceiling, by the way, it was probably about 6 foot high. I was shorter than the ceiling, and it was because I was a lot younger then. A lot younger. And we went growing through there, so you see the bats overhead and whatnot. We get clear down in the gut of the cave, and the person that's leading the expedition says, do you want to know what color a cave is? Poof! Turn off all the lights. She says, it's black, if you were wondering. I took my hand, and I put it in front of my face. And you know what I saw? Black. She was right. It was black down there. If the woman would have died, I think we all would have died. We didn't know where to go. We didn't have maps. And we didn't have any light to see our way. I can have peace because the Lord is my guide. In verse 27, God is the Lord. He has given us light. Revelation is the idea. So that, and he goes on, bind the sacrifice with cords and to the horns of the altar. He says here, we've got the revelation from God to know these sacrifices. God is a light. The Bible says your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word gives me direction. But we are constantly looking for directions. Guys are too, by the way, women, except they're just not willing to say it. We're constantly looking for direction in life. What should my next step be? God gives us the revelation of his word to make godly decisions. He guides us by his Holy Spirit. We can have great peace knowing the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what can man do to me. The Lord answers me when I call, and he guides me. He is my light. Not only does God give me peace, therefore I can trust Him, God gives me victory, so I can trust Him. Look at verses 10 through 14. The nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. You ever been surrounded by bees before? I have not. I've been attacked by a couple bees during different times, but not by a whole swarm. I can imagine the fear. It was bad enough to have one bee, much less have many. They were quenched like a fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. God gives victory. We see He gives victory in the fact that He is God. God can give me the victory. We've seen in these verses the confidence that the psalmist has. We don't have the author here. A lot of the psalms, most of the psalms are written by David, not all of them though. Here is one that is written, and the one that's writing says, you know, all the enemies were around me, but guess what? I'm going to destroy them. He is not being proud in his own ability. Keep in mind that. Why? Because all throughout this, where is his confidence? His confidence is in the Lord, because it's better to trust the Lord than to put my confidence in man. It's better to trust the Lord than to put your trust in princes. He knows who God is. In verse 1, give thanks to the Lord. The word Lord there is the Jehovah, the one true God, for He is good. In verses 27, we see the Lord is God. In verse 28, you are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God. I will exalt you. And again, verse 29, the acknowledgement that give thanks to Jehovah, the one true God. The Lord, He is God. What can God do? He can do anything but fail, right? The one true God? Well, where is He? Though I go make my bed in the depths of the ocean, or even the depths of the place of the dead, behold, you are with me. God is right here. We can thank God that we can trust Him because He gives us peace, because He gives us victory, because He is the Lord God. Along with that, we see that He will destroy the wicked. He mentions that several times here, the author being the vehicle of God's wrath. I will destroy them, He says in verse 11. He says it in verse 12. In verse 13, He says, the Lord helped me. Verse 14, has become my salvation. It is God who gives the victory. He will destroy the wicked. In Psalm 22, or not Psalm 22, Psalm 2, a very important psalm, a psalm that perhaps we'll sing in the millennium, because that is the context of that psalm. Psalm 2, verse 1, it says, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords away from us. But He who sits on the heavens shall laugh. God is not threatened by man's devices. God will ultimately destroy the wicked. He has destroyed the wicked. in the past. Those nations that were against him, God has destroyed. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because of their wickedness, God destroyed them. Because of the sins of Moab and Ammon, and the sins of Egypt, they have some destroyed completely, some partially destroyed or judged, yet allowed to persist. God destroys enemies. You're looking here and you're saying to yourself, okay, so what? Well, hold on. Let me give you a couple more and I'll tell you the so what. The Lord is my strength. He says in here in verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song. In the verse 15 at the very end, it says, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. In 16, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. He's strong. He does what he wills. I can trust God because he gives me victory. For he is strong, mighty, and is my strength. In verse 18, the Lord gives life. Verse 18 says, the Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. He has not allowed me to die. He has given me life because of it. What has God given me victory over? Well, remember, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God gave you victory over hell. God gave you victory over the power of sin. Think about addictions that we don't think we can get over. Can we get over them? Can we break free of those? Not in our own strength. The psalmist writes, whose is strength? The Lord is. So by trusting God, surrendering completely to God, guess what happens? It's victory. When we see temptations, when we see sin in our lives, where's the victory? When we look at the people that are around us, we look and see if we have a godly nation, what do we find? For the most part, sadly, no. Men and women, children, are more concerned about what they want than what God wants. I was very discouraged, but I thought it was very telling. And I was also very curious, as I mentioned before, the Democratic National Convention had to vote to put God back on their platform. There was 3 votes taken, and it was clear at the last vote, according to myself and even a lot of other people who listened to it, that they did not want God back in their platform. But the chairman did something I would say politically savvy, and said, based on my opinion, it gets put in there. I thought, so you look at where they stand, and they say they don't want God part of their platform. You know, I'm very curious what it would be like for the Republicans. I'm not that sure it would be much different. I'm not calling one better than the other. Take note of that. Our nation has gone from a place that fears God to not fearing God. And we're seeing the results of it. We're seeing that you have to pay for somebody else's abortion. We're seeing that you have to embrace those that are living in sin and not confront them of it. What's going to happen in the end? Well, if things continue the way they are, a godless society persecutes, punishes, and slaughters those who trust God. I'm not saying tomorrow morning that will happen here in America, but I'm saying that there are so many out there by influence of the world, of Satan, that can't stand God. Who's going to get the victory in the end? God gives me victory. We can trust God. Finally, God gives me mercy. God gives me mercy. The difference between grace and mercy is this. Grace is a Christmas gift. It's something that you get that you don't necessarily deserve. Mercy, though, mercy is a warning from the police officer. It's not getting what you fully deserve. even though you're only going 123 miles an hour over the speed limit, and you fully deserve the ticket, He was merciful and gave you a warning. That's the difference between grace and mercy. God giving us something we don't deserve because of His goodness. And God withholding punishment because He is merciful. The Lord is my salvation, He says in verse 14. He has become my salvation. That's based on God's mercy. I don't deserve to go to heaven. You don't deserve to go to heaven whether you think you do or not. Why? Because any sin against the Holy God deserves eternity in hell forever. So my sin of lying, my sin of stealing, my sin of complaining, my sin, because of my sin, I don't deserve to go to heaven. What hope is there? Oh, well, you know, God will see all the other good things I do. Just take a picture here. All right, I'm going to sin 3 times this morning. All right? I'm going to get up. When the alarm goes off, I'm going to complain that I did not get enough sleep. When I go to get something to eat for breakfast, I complain that there's no more eggs. That's 2 already. We haven't even got the lunch. And then finally, as I'm walking back, depressed from the kitchen, I see the kids' stuff all over, and I lose my temper. It's not even hit 8 o'clock, and I've sinned 3 times. Now, 3 times, 3 sins in a day, that's not bad, is it? Now, if we go all year long, that's 1,000 sins, isn't it? If, by some miraculous ability, I sin only 3 times a day, at this point in my life, I'd have sinned 38,000 times. But that's okay. God doesn't mind. He's a nice God, and He'll let me in anyway. James says, if we've sinned even in one point, we are guilty as lawbreakers. How many laws do you have to break to go to jail here in our nation? 1. If due justice is right. How many sins do you have to do to go to hell? 1. And even at that, you are born a sinner, guilty. And Jesus, when He talks to Nicodemus, says that those that believe have everlasting life. But those that don't believe are already condemned. It's not a matter of God sending you to hell. You're already on your way. You have to have God's mercy to save you from it. The Lord is my salvation. Here He talks about the enemies that He sees. Verse 21, He says, I will praise You for You have answered me. You have become my salvation. God saves. Jesus saves. And what I need to do is I need to admit my guilt before Him. Know that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. To pay the whole penalty for all 38,000 quadrillion sins that I've done. He paid the penalty and came back to life. And if I'm willing to surrender to the Lord, if I'm willing to put my trust in Him alone for my salvation, Jesus says, whoever believes in me has everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The trust of the man who wrote Psalm 118. He says, my confidence isn't in man, my confidence isn't in princes, but it is better to trust in the Lord. Where's his confidence? In God. His trust is in the Lord. When I put my trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I am saved. Look at verse 22 and verse 23. The stone which the builders rejected had become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. You know what's very curious about those verses there? that are used in the New Testament, in the Gospels and in Hebrews. And who do they refer to? Jesus Christ. The salvation just isn't our physical life. Jesus Christ. That stone which the builders rejected, the people that were living at that time, they said, oh, we don't want that Jesus. The religious people said, we don't want that Jesus. He's our cornerstone. He is the only way to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. The Lord is my salvation. Verse 2, verse 1, His mercy endures forever. Verse 2, His mercy endures forever. Verse 3, His mercy endures forever. Verse 4 says, yes, it does. Verse 29, His mercy endures forever. God's mercy continues on. My salvation is His mercy upon my soul, but then He doesn't get tired of me sinning. His mercy is everlasting. He continues to be good over and over again. This person that wrote Psalm 118, he thinks about God and he gives his voice of thanksgiving. Thanks be to God. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He does good things. And His mercy is forever. His grace and His mercy. He finds the Lord gracious in the strength that He gives, the victory that He gives, the peace that He gives. He finds mercy in the salvation that He gives, that mercy that's everlasting. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. Today we thank our veterans for their hard work, for their self-sacrifice. Mostly we thank God because He is the one who preserved them and preserves our nation. We continue to thank God. Today you can make a habit to write down something on the refrigerator. You can do it on a piece of paper on the refrigerator if you prefer. Write down on the refrigerator every day something you're thankful for. You want a real challenge? 3 times a day, put something up there that you're thankful to God for. Why? For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. We can trust God. Trust God. The men and women on the field often are trusting God rather than their own training. No matter what kind of training you get, you got bullets flying at you, you're trusting God to protect you. God gives peace, gives victory, and is merciful. Thank God.